11 Sunday School Christmas program here at Duluth Bible Church. And certainly we count it a great privilege to be able to put on a program like this that reminds us of the real reason for the season, which centers in the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the only book that God ever wrote, namely the Bible, He tells us of the only Savior He ever gave, His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In the very famous verse, John 3:16, we read in the Bible, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." As we think of God giving His Son, we have to think of two facets of that giving. First of all, He gave His Son at Bethlehem, and then He later gave His Son at Calvary. Tonight, the title or the theme of our program is called Beyond Bethlehem here. And in doing so, we're going to look at and consider the date of Bethlehem, the place of Bethlehem, the purpose of Bethlehem, and so forth. And as we think of going beyond Bethlehem, for indeed He was born to die, we recognize it really starts... Are we ready? No? She's not working. Okay? Before Bethlehem. As we think of before Bethlehem, we can't help but think that God, in eternity past, knowing and in view of man's sin, designed a plan of salvation, a plan of redemption, a plan in which He so loved the world that He would give His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For while God created Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden in order to have fellowship or a relationship with God, we know that He did not make them robots, but gave them volition or choice. And in doing so, He gave them but one prohibition. He said, "Of all the trees in the garden you may freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it. For the day you eat thereof you shall surely die." In that God wanted a love relationship that would be chosen and not a robot who would be forced to respond, He gives them this choice, and we know they chose wrong. We know they rebelled against God, and they experienced exactly what God had said, namely death. First, spiritual death by way of separation from God, and then eventually physical death as the curse eventually caught up with them. It all started before Bethlehem. And yet, in view of that sin, God had a plan and promised to that first couple in the Garden of Eden, after they sinned, that one day He would provide a Redeemer. And as you study through the Old Testament, you see the birth line of the Redeemer was clearly set forth to be a descendant of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and of David and Solomon. And all the Old Testament sacrifices were a picture. As we look back, we can now see that it was a picture of the fact that one day God would give His Son, His only Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die as a lamb and a sacrifice for our sins. So it starts really before Bethlehem. Next, there was a barrier at Bethlehem. As we think of the fact that the wise men saw the star coming and they followed the star, and in doing so, it brought them eventually to Jerusalem, to King Herod, who inquired of the scribes where the Messiah would be born, and they knew exactly where. Micah 5, verse 2, in Bethlehem. And yet, they weren't willing to just go the few miles down the road, as it were, to find out if indeed the Messiah had been born. But the wise men did, and eventually found Him. And Herod said, "If you find Him, let me know." But he didn't say that because he really wanted to worship Him, but instead he wanted to slaughter Him and any opponent of His throne. For Herod was driven by pride, driven by ego, and driven by self-centeredness. And we know that God supernaturally directed so that Joseph and Mary had the Lord Jesus go with them to Egypt while Herod killed all the children 2 years old and younger. And yet we are reminded that even in our day there are barriers to Bethlehem. In people's minds there's pride that gets in the way, religious tradition that gets in the way, and their own self-righteousness which gets in the way of really understanding the meaning and value of Bethlehem. We move then from the barrier at Bethlehem to the birth at Bethlehem. And frankly, the birth was relatively normal in the sense that it was the supernatural conception as the Spirit of God provided the means to have the Lord Jesus born in the womb of Mary apart from a man. And then they went to Bethlehem eventually, and there in a stable gave birth to the Redeemer of the world. And frankly, friends, if we were to do it, we would never do it that way. If we were bringing in the Creator of the world, if we were bringing the Savior of the world, we would have a ticker tape parade. We would have a great splash of some kind. But that's not the way God does it. For God's ways are not our ways. And as a result, God instead had it in a very interesting situation there in Bethlehem. And He let the shepherds know, those who often were despised in Israel, as He proclaimed through the angels, unto you is born this day in the city of David a what? A Savior, who is Christ the King. And what do Saviors do? They save. And Christ came to seek and to save that which is lost. And thus, we move in our program to the battle at Bethlehem. And again, in doing so, we recognize that King Herod sought to thwart it. Satan certainly did not want the Lord Jesus to come as well. And as a result, you will hear tonight, through song and scripture, through the kids singing in verses and the adult choirs, this wonderful unraveling of the story of redemption. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that if you believe in Him, you will not perish, but you will have everlasting life. And remember, when He was born, His title was Emmanuel, which means God with us. We then will consider the benefits of Bethlehem. For as a result of God giving a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ grew up in the home of Joseph and Mary, and at the age of 30, He began His public ministry. He was baptized to identify with the nation of Israel. He then was tempted by the devil, proving He was nothing less than God. He did miracle after miracle, proving again He was deity in human flesh. And He had great compassion on sinners. He ate with sinners, for He came to save sinners. And as a result, the religious leaders of Jerusalem, in light of the fact the Lord Jesus offered salvation apart from ritual and apart from law and apart from works, and thus, inevitably, squeezing their religious middleman out of the way, and thus making Him the mediator between God and man, they plotted His death. And they illegally tried Him. And then, one day, He was crucified. And there on that cross, He died not for His sins, He had none, but for your sins and my sins, and the sins of the entire world. For without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Thus, the Lord Jesus Christ died and paid your sin debt penalty to God. And dear friends, the gospel is how God became a man in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and how He paid the price and payment for your sins. And on the third day He rose again, as God was satisfied with Christ dying as your substitute, so that you could receive as a free gift salvation from a hell you deserve to a heaven you don't. Eternal life which could never cause you to perish. And you could be absolutely certain when you die that you're going to go to heaven. Not because you earned it, not because you deserved it, because you don't. But because of what Christ did for us. That's the great benefit of Bethlehem. He was born to die and pay for our sins so that in exchange for our sin, He gives us His righteousness as a gift and declares us justified before God. As we think of beyond Bethlehem tonight, we recognize that He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven. He has sent His Holy Spirit into the world to convince the world and convict the world that they need Jesus Christ as their Savior. And how by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from our religious works, we can actually be saved and have eternal life and know it. Why? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So I want to ask you tonight, do you know for sure you have eternal life? Do you know for sure if you were to die tonight, you're going to enter the presence of God? Is it 70% sure? 80% sure? 90% sure? I want you to know, if you're thinking in those terms, it's because somewhere in your mind you're thinking, if I only am good enough to get my good to outweigh my bad, maybe I would make it. And that's not what the gospel is about at all. The good news is that while your sin makes you worthy of hell, and while your good works are like filthy rags, that God provided outside of you and in spite of you through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior you will ever need. The only Savior that can save you. The Lord Jesus Christ. And the moment you are willing to transfer your faith from a church that cannot save you, or your works that cannot save you, or the law that cannot save you, or your baptism, or whatever, and you're willing to put your trust in Jesus Christ alone, because you believe on that cross He died for you and your sin and rose again to give you eternal life. At that moment of faith alone, in Christ alone, you receive eternal life. Have you ever received that gift? You say, well, I don't know if I ever have or not. Well, why don't you settle it tonight? Right now, where you're at, you can settle that. You can have your destiny changed in a moment by receiving a gift. For the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Salvation is not a reward for good people. It's a gift for sinners. In fact, if you could work your way to heaven, could you tell me why God sent His Son to earth and why He died on the cross for your sins? It would have been for nothing. So I close with this verse again. For God so loved the world, that's His part. That He gave His only begotten Son, that's His part. That if you believe in Jesus Christ, Him alone, that's your part. You will not perish, but you will have right now, everlasting life. Now, you know, there's a lot of gifts people get at Christmas. You know, some you like and some you don't. This one you must have. This is one you will forever be thankful for because it was offered by God's love, paid for by Jesus Christ, and received through simple faith in Him. You see, Bethlehem means He was born die for you and for me and for all of our sins so that we could be saved. And if you're here tonight and you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, may you rejoice tonight in the real message of Christmas. For indeed, Christmas is all about not Santa Claus, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank You tonight for the message of the gospel. Thank You that You so loved us, that You gave Your only Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins upon the cross and be raised from the dead, that if we would be willing to simply put our trust in Him, that we will not perish in hell, but we would have right now eternal life so that when we die, we know we're going to heaven because we've received the gift of salvation. Should anyone be here tonight, and indeed I'm sure there are, those who have never trusted in Christ alone, that tonight might be the night they receive the gift of salvation. That they transfer their faith from those things that could not save them and put their faith in the only Savior you ever provided, the Lord Jesus Christ. Undertake for the narrators tonight, and the kids as they sing and say their verses in the adult choir and all that's involved. We thank you for everyone who will make this night possible by their practice, by learning, and by their serving. And we rejoice now and thank you in Jesus' name. And amen.
throughout the ages, there have been certain men and women who have had a global impact on the way we work, govern, travel, communicate, and even worship. They include inventors, humanitarians, politicians, religious leaders, and authors, to name a few. Let's take some time tonight to reflect on how the first coming of our Lord Jesus Christ as a baby in Bethlehem has impacted us for all eternity. Before Christ came to earth, history moved toward Bethlehem. It was the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ at Bethlehem that marked the dividing point in our earthly calendar. His first coming made an impact upon the world that is unparalleled. Tonight, however, we would like you to look with us beyond Bethlehem. Beyond Bethlehem to Christ's victorious death on the cross. Beyond Bethlehem to the 21st century, and beyond to that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Before we look beyond Bethlehem, let's watch our first and second graders portray the story of Jesus' birth found in Luke chapter 2.
And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went out to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who is with child. So it was that while they were there, these days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her first son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Thank you.
Now there was in the same country shepherds living out of the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill towards men."
So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known this saying that was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told them.
Thank you.
Long before the eternal God took upon himself the form of humanity at Bethlehem, the prophets predicted that the eternal Son of God would be given to us and would go forth from Bethlehem. These prophecies were supernaturally fulfilled through the birth of Jesus Christ.
For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, the Mighty God, Counselor. The Mighty God, Counselor, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6.
But you, Bethlehem, out of you shall come forth to me the one to be the ruler of Israel, of whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. Micah 5:2.
The wise men believed the writings of Micah and traveled to Bethlehem in search of the King of the Jews. When they arrived in Bethlehem and found the child with Mary, his mother, the wise men then fell down and worshipped him and presented him with gifts. Let's listen to our 3- and 4-year-old class as they remind us of our wonderful Savior who was born in Bethlehem.
When Mary and Joseph arrived in Bethlehem, they were told there was no room for them in the inn. Since the incarnate Son was barred from the inn, he was born in a nearby stable used for cattle. His bed was a feeding trough. This barrier at Bethlehem was consistent with Christ's earthly ministry, as he was often rejected by many.
He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Isaiah 53:3. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. John 1:11.
When the innkeeper rejected Joseph and Mary, there was no indication that he was purposely rejecting Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The innkeeper was simply running a business and had filled his rooms. He was so preoccupied with doing business that he missed the prophetic event of Christ's birth in Bethlehem. Are you so busy with the cares of the world that you have left Christ on the outside of your life? It's easy to do that at this time of year. Let's listen as our junior church choir encourages us to be more like the wise men who traveled to Bethlehem to worship the King.
Lord, Jesus the Lord, fall down before.
Christ is worthy of our honor and worship. Thank you, Junior Church, for that reminder. What about you? Have you accepted what Christ has done for you, or have you rejected him? Perhaps you have rejected him because of the barrier of pride, as you are convinced you can earn your way to heaven through your good deeds. Or perhaps you have rejected him because of the barrier of religion, as you depend on a church or a sacrament to save you. Maybe it's the barrier of false teaching keeping you from accepting Christ, as no one has ever clearly explained to you how salvation is a gift for sinners, not a reward for good people. Maybe you are like many who have rejected Christ because you are so consumed with all this world has to offer, instead of being concerned about your eternal destiny. Regardless of the reason for the rejection, we invite you tonight to look beyond Bethlehem and see what Jesus Christ has to offer you. The next song by our junior church reminds us that, though Christ is of a humble birth, he is the heaven-born Prince of Peace and King of Kings. Every Christmas, we see lighted nativity scenes in front of homes, live nativity scenes on stages, and ceramic nativity scenes on end tables, all depicting the wonderful event of Jesus' birth in Bethlehem. Each time we see a nativity scene, we should be reminded of God's grace, how God demonstrated his grace towards us through his miraculous birth at Bethlehem. God, in his grace, sent his Son for you and me so we could have eternal life if we trust in him.
For 2,000 years, people of all walks of life and from every continent have acknowledged that the infant, born of a virgin in Bethlehem, is their Lord and Savior. In him resides all the attributes of an infinite God of this universe.
And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. John 1, 14 and 16.
Jesus Christ, the eternal God, who became a man without sin, willingly died on the cross so that you and I could have eternal life. What is more amazing than God becoming a man is that he left the glories of heaven for sinners like you and me. Today, God is saying, I give you my Son, the Word which became flesh and died in your place for your sins. Will you accept this wonderful gift? Our two choirs will now sing of the birth of our Savior.
Thank you.
Over the desert, led by the star, traveled the wise kings from afar. Weary and long the trip was for them, yet with God's help they reached Bethlehem.
There they found Jesus, who came to earth to go to the cross and provide for all a second birth. Here the three wise men humbly adored their heavenly King, Savior, and Lord.
Then their most precious gifts they unfold, myrrh, frankincense, and the purest of gold, offering all to Jesus, whose mercy and love brought him to earth from heaven above.
Everyone was as excited as the wise men to worship the child. When King Herod heard about Jesus' birth, he was jealous of the newborn king and wanted to kill him. In a rage, the king ordered all babies 2 years and younger to be killed. King Herod was angry and set out to do battle with innocent children because he was afraid of losing his crown. When God warned Mary and Joseph of the king's plan, they fled to Egypt and hid Jesus where he would be safe. Are you in a spiritual battle today? Are you doing battle with God and what the Spirit of God has shown you in the Word of God? We know God won the battle at Bethlehem. Don't allow Satan to claim victory in the battle over your soul by rejecting Jesus Christ and his payment on the cross for you. God wants you to trust in the atoning death of his Son so you can know you have eternal life right now.
Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except for me." John 14:6.
Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes on him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment but is passed from death unto life. John 5:24.
We will now hear from our 5-year-old and kindergarten class.
you have already trusted Christ for your salvation. Thankfully, the battle is no longer over your eternal destiny, as you have received Christ, eternal life the moment you placed your faith in Christ. However, as you are aware, you are faced with spiritual battles every day. If Satan cannot prevent a person from trusting in Christ for salvation, he then wants to neutralize and defeat the believer in his or her walk with the Lord.
For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Ephesians 6:12.
Let's not allow Satan to win the battle this Christmas as he seeks to distract us with all the world has to offer. Instead, let's keep in mind the real reason for this holiday and give all the glory to God.
We invite you to look beyond Bethlehem and see the benefits of Bethlehem. These benefits can be yours if you accept what Christ did on the cross when he died for your sins and rose again. You can have absolute assurance that you will go to heaven and escape eternal punishment in hell by trusting in this sacrificial work of Christ. It's not a matter of bowing down to a baby in Bethlehem, but coming to Christ the Savior at Calvary. What are you trusting in to get to heaven? Your works? Your riches? Your religion? Your church? None of these can save you. Only Jesus Christ can give you eternal life, the greatest gift to come out of Bethlehem.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16.
For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2:8 and 9.
There are numerous benefits and blessings of Bethlehem for anyone who has accepted God's free gift of salvation. Not only do you escape the eternal wrath of a holy God, but you are sealed until the day of redemption with the Holy Spirit. You are seated with Christ in the heavenlies, and you are blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ. Though his humble birth in a manger and his sacrificial death on the cross was long ago, Christ's saving grace is still available today, far beyond Bethlehem. That is why Christmas is the time to praise the Lord for all he has done.
Jesus, I just
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians 1:3.
In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Ephesians 1:13.
Many people, especially children, view the pile of gifts they get at Christmas as the benefits of Bethlehem. Let me again remind you that the greatest benefit of Bethlehem is the eternal life that God freely gives to anyone who puts their trust in his Son. Jesus could have called 10,000 angels to take him off that cross at Calvary, and yet he willingly went there to die for you and me.
Looking beyond Bethlehem, we see a cross, we see an empty tomb, we see a risen Savior, and we see a coming King. There was no room for him in Bethlehem, but there was room for him at Calvary, where he suffered and died and paid for the sins of the entire world. He victoriously arose from the grave, and he now sits at the right hand of the Father, and will come back someday to meet the saints in the air. Are you focused on Bethlehem as you celebrate Christmas each year, seeing only a baby in a manger? Or can you see beyond Bethlehem to Calvary, where Christ died a sacrificial death for you and me?
But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. Hebrews 2:9.
this Christmas, take some time to look beyond Bethlehem, to Calvary, where our Savior gave his life so you could be forgiven and set free from the bondage of sin. Beyond Bethlehem to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which is proof that God the Father accepted his sacrificial payment for our sins as he then raised Christ from the dead. Then you can look beyond Bethlehem for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you see Christmas as simply being a nativity scene with a baby in a manger? I encourage you to look beyond Bethlehem and trust in Christ alone, who died on the cross to pay for all of your sins. By faith alone in Christ alone, you can know for certain that you have eternal life. I invite you to come take of the wealth of heaven through Jesus Christ, God's Son.
Thank you.
I trust that you enjoyed our program tonight. It's always interesting to see how the Christmas program will unravel. It's one of my favorite programs of the year. What enthusiasm here tonight. And what a great message. You know, as we think of the message of Christmas, we're reminded once again of John 3:16, for God so loved the world, that's you and me, that He gave His only begotten Son, that's Jesus Christ, that whoever believes in Him, simply trusts in Him, He did it all on the cross, should not perish, but have everlasting life. And you know, oftentimes we sing these songs at Christmas, but we don't pay attention to the words. Notice, hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies, with angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. You see, man needed to be reconciled to God by virtue of our sin. And through Jesus Christ coming to the earth and paying a penalty for sin that He didn't owe, we could receive a gift we didn't deserve. And we receive it through faith in Christ alone. I want to express a real thanks to everyone who made the program possible tonight. And we do have some refreshments for you if you would like to stay, or you're picking up your child, or you're a grandparent, you want to grab a goodie or some coffee on the way out. I think through the double set of doors, there'll be some goodies there, as well as up on the main hallway as well. And so we trust that you have enjoyed the program, you have understood well the message of Bethlehem, and I pray by the grace of God, if you have never trusted in Christ as your personal Savior, that you would receive the gift of salvation even tonight. As we bring our service to a close, we invite you to stand as we sing together, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the sky. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn. Think of the words. Hail thy hand, born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life through all ye bring. Risen with ye, lead in His way. Mild He laid His glory by. Born that man no more may. Born to raise the Son of earth, born to give Him second birth. Amen.